Good morning, everyone. However you look at it, whatever your ideology is, whatever your partisan allegiance is, history will be made tomorrow, and we have one day today to think about it and to watch the last moments of the campaign. With me is Daniel Patrick Henry Bass. Why do I want to call you Daniel Henry?
Daniel Bone Bass.
Daniel Patrick Henry Bass, senior editor at Essence and our Takeaway contributor. He's here in the studio with me. Adore Udoji is down in Georgia, which surprisingly is a toss-up
state. It's up in the air.
You know, I was reading the New York Times this morning, and their discussion of the congressional races that are at stake around the country make it hard not to draw the conclusion that the wheels have really come off the GOP, at least in terms of what they're going to be able to do in Congress. Forget the White House. David Herzenhorn joins us. He's a New York Times reporter. He's from the Washington Bureau. David, thanks for being with us.
Good morning, John.
It is hard to see a positive in this campaign for the GOP in Congress. Is it really as bad as some of the numbers might suggest?
Well, the numbers are certainly bad, and the interesting thing, of course, is that everybody's been distracted by the presidential race, and they don't realize that this has been going on, building slowly, you know, not just even in the last couple of weeks, but over months and even more than a year, as the number of Republicans retiring from the House, you know, just continued to grow and grow. And so, you know, the most interesting numbers, I think, in our story today are just about the money. The campaign committees, the Senate campaign committee, the Democrats have spent basically twice as much as the Republicans, and on the House side, it's more than three times as much to help candidates around the country.
And that almost never happens, that disparity being, first of all, in that direction and being that much, right?
Well, not in recent history, that's right.
What do you think it's going to mean in terms of the numbers? I mean, begin with the retirees and then move to contests which maybe we never imagined would be, you know, toss-ups.
Well, let's look on the Senate side, for instance. I mean, the Republicans are basically ceding races in Virginia, in Colorado, and New Mexico, where you have Republican senators retiring. And, of course, you have Ted Stevens with his legal troubles in Alaska, a state that hasn't had a Democratic senator in decades. You know, the Liddy Dole in North Carolina is in serious trouble. And, of course, all eyes are on Georgia for good reasons, in large part because of the distinct possibility of a runoff, which could keep the final number in terms of Senate races and how many seats the Democrats have unknown until December 2nd or 3rd.
You know, we were talking with some people at our member stations down in some of these areas where the races are that you're talking about here. And it's come up in the last few days, the issue of the Democrats taking a 60-seat control of the Senate as working its way into the actual campaign itself, that Republicans are saying, hey, whatever you think of me, don't, you know, vote to give the Democrats this much control in Congress. Is that having an impact?
It's hard to know. It certainly is something that they've seized on as, you know, to try and turn it around. I mean, there's some interesting things about the number 60. First of all, it's not as magical as a lot of people would think, that getting, you know, 60 senators together on any one issue is tough for any party, even if they've got the 60th or 61st seat. The other thing is the Democrats have really raised, I mean, this may be the cloud in all this for them, is they've really raised those expectations so high. And it's hard. I mean, to get to 60, they've got to run the board, basically, in all the states where they're ahead and where what are rated now by analysts as toss-ups, and then pick up either Georgia, Mississippi, or Kentucky, where their candidates are still behind. So it's not an easy road to 60 to begin with. And even once you've got it, it doesn't mean that you just get to do whatever you want in the Senate. Former Vice President Walter Mondale laughed about these sorts of ads that you're describing, saying, oh, if they get 60, they're going to get whatever they want. Because, of course, he and President Carter had that majority when they were in the White House. And he said, trust me, from my experience, you don't have to worry about it.
That's interesting. You know, there's an eerie echo of 2000 in all of this. Bill Clinton was seen as having questionable coattails back in 2000, although he did campaign. George Bush appears to have no coattails at all. And Dick Cheney's foray into the campaign over the weekend was something that Barack Obama made hay of in his stump speech. Give me an assessment of the coattails situation right now.
Well, I mean, the really amazing thing is to see how the Democrats have so many surrogates, right? Bill Clinton was out campaigning, you have actors and celebrities. I mean, Hillary is out campaigning. You know, there are so many people the Democrats can turn to right now. President Bush is basically sidelined. The vice president is sidelined. You look around and you try to find, you know, who out there can help out these Republican candidates. And it certainly doesn't seem to be John McCain. I spent a lot of time in New Hampshire, you know, where he won two primaries. And if anything, John Sununu, the senator, who's in his own tough re-election fight, is helping to carry McCain along.
Wow. David, so breakfast in your house, what is it, mini-wheats or oatmeal?
That's right.
Which one?
Cheerios.
Cheerios. Thank you. David Herzenhorn, New York Times reporter, speaking to us from his home in Washington, D.C. Great story on the difficulties for the GOP in the congressional races, both in the House and the Senate. That's in the New York Times today.